God wants us not only to understand His principles, He wants us to apprehend them. Not only comprehend them, but apprehend them. Not only understand them, but lay hold of them.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I would suggest that every person under the hearing of my voice needs to come to appreciate and respond to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and then share that good news with others as God opens opportunities and opens doors. Every person ought to, needs to, come to appreciate and respond to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and then share that good news with others. And I want you to notice with me this very precise twofold progression in the passage before us. First, there is this searching for Christ, who is the supreme wonder. And then there is, after seeking Him out and finding Him, there is this sharing of this Christ, who is the supreme wonder, the sharing of this Christ with others who so desperately need to meet Him. The first thing I see in this passage is the perception of John the Baptist. And that is in verses 35 and 36. He's very perceptive in his identification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second thing I see is the pursuit of Jesus by John's disciples. And that's a little further on there in verse 37. And the final thing I see is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, His concern and His love for those disciples as He turns to meet their needs and speaks a word to them that they so desperately need to hear. Now let's analyze that for a moment. The first thing I see is the perception of John the Baptist. Do you notice he says, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And if you back up just a few verses, you'll hear what he said the day before, precisely the same thing, essentially the same thing, with a little more detail in verse 29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John was very perceptive. What do you see in that expression? Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That was a message he was announcing to his disciples. That was a summons for them to follow the Son of God and to leave Him behind. What did John actually see? What do you see in that expression? I see five things very briefly. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The first thing I see is human observation. Behold. The second thing I see is a sacrificial implication. The Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John knew precisely what he was saying. John was the son of a priest. John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias, the priest. John was the son of a priest. He understood well the ritual and the significance of sacrificing lambs. He knew precisely the implications of this utterance. Behold the Lamb. There's not only a human observation and a sacrificial implication here, but there's a divine ordination. He's the Lamb of God. God is going to work in this sacrificial ministry, says John. God is going to do something mighty. He's going to do something powerful through this Son of God, through this Lamb of God. God requires a payment for sin because He's a holy God, and God provides a payment for sin because He's a loving God. God makes a powerful demand, and He makes a powerful provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 19. This is the Lamb of God. Nothing artificial or inauthentic about Jesus Christ. This, says John, is of God. And then he says there's a permanent expiation here. He taketh away the sin of the world. And that's a sacrificial term. The whole statement is filled, it's permeated with sacrificial concepts. That little phrase there, taketh away, it's the translation of a Greek word, iro, which carries with it certain sacrificial implications. It means to pick up and carry away. It means to permanently remove. That's the meaning of the word, iro or irene. To pick up and bear away, pick up and carry away, to permanently remove. You know what it means? It means to kill or destroy. It means that the death of Jesus was the death of death. It means that I'm set free from the clutches of Sheol. It means that death for me is no longer a penalty. It's a medium of promotion, of access into the presence of God. It means that I'm set free from sin's guilt, sin's power, sin's penalty, ultimately sin's presence. It's been picked up and borne away, nailed to the cross by Jesus Christ. He taketh away the sin of the world. And there's a universal application. Do you notice? He taketh away the sin of the world. It means to me that the collective sin and guilt of humanity was borne by Jesus Christ on the cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's universal. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's equally universal. Isaiah 53:6. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2 and verse 2. That's a universal implication. You have to appreciate the circumference of the kind of love which includes the whole world. My friends, it includes you and me. It embraces you and me. We're wrapped all around with the love of Jesus Christ. We're wrapped all around with the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And we're wrapped all around with that love and forgiveness because of the expiatory work, because of the atoning death, because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that work was sufficient for you and for me. You have to appreciate the circumference of a love which includes the whole world. There's a breadth to it. It's as wide as mankind. There's a length to it. It's exhaustless and eternal, this love. There's a height to it. It brings a man up all the way into the very presence of God and makes him fit for heaven. There's a depth to it. It reaches down to the vilest sinner and reclaims him from the very pit of hell. The whole world is wrapped all around with the love of God in the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now it remains for us only to respond to his offer and to claim by faith personally that which he died to give all men. Now, do you notice very quickly in verse 37, we see the perception of John. He's very perceptive. There's a lot of theology in that statement. We've only touched it. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You know, we ought to marvel at that facet of our Lord's character, and we ought to thank him for it. And then we see here, beyond John's perception, we see the pursuit of John's disciples following the Lord Jesus. And there are two very simple steps in their spiritual biography here. The Bible says in verse 37, they heard and they followed. They heard and they followed. When the Bible says they heard, that implies two things to me. It implies, one, that their ears and their heart were open. And that's what God wants from you, an open ear and an open heart. So that when he speaks, you'll be responsive. He wants it from those who need to come to Christ and be saved. He wants it from his own people on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants an open ear and an open heart, but it implies beyond that a faithful witness. For how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 and verse 14. Without someone to proclaim, without someone to announce the message, how shall they hear? It implies a faithful witness and an open ear and heart. Among the many voices of the world which are clamoring for our attention, a wise man must tune his heart and his ear to the message of God, to the voice of God. John's disciples heard with understanding and comprehension what it was that he was trying to say. They got the message. There came into their being conviction of the mind and conviction of the heart, and that led to the next step, decision of the will. So first they heard, and then the Bible says they followed. There was a decisive turning, aorist tense, point in time. There was a decisive turning. It was a significant moment in their lives. For them, there was not only comprehension or understanding, there was apprehension. They laid hold of that. which they heard by faith. That's what God wants from every one of us. God wants us not only to understand His principles, He wants us to apprehend them. Not only comprehend them, but apprehend them. Not only understand them, but lay hold of them. Practically implement them in our lives daily by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As God speaks to our hearts through the teaching and preaching of God's Word, through the principles of Scripture, as we read it and study it, mine out its truth. As God speaks to our hearts, He wants us to have not only comprehension, but apprehension. He wants us not only to understand, but lay hold of, by faith, the things that He teaches us in the pages of Scripture. Now, I want to close with the passion of Jesus. Do you notice in verse 38 and 39? The concern, the passion, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's represented in two things. One, His divine initiative. Verse 38, the Bible says, "Then Jesus turned and saw and said, 'What seek ye?'" His divine initiative. Verse 39, there's a divine invitation. "Come and see," He said. Jesus did something entirely characteristic. The Bible says He turned. The Bible says He saw perceptively. Emblepsis is the Greek word. He saw with perception, not superficially up on the outside, not just the thin veneer of religiosity that characterized John's disciples. He saw inwardly, into the heart, the needs of those individuals. He turned, He saw, and then He spoke. That is the symbol of divine initiative. It may well be that these disciples were tentative, that they were timid. Perhaps in their shyness, they followed respectfully some distance behind, having left John, having understood his summons, his imperative. Behold, they began to follow Christ, but perhaps some distance back. But their needs were too great, and their souls were too valuable to leave unattended. And so Jesus turned, and Jesus saw, and Jesus spoke. You know, I thank God that that's what He did with me. I thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ saw the needs of this preacher when he was a young man. There's a sense, a very real sense, through the ministry of His Word, through the ministry of His church, through the ministry of His Spirit, there's a sense, a very real sense, in which the Lord Jesus Christ turned toward me. There's a very real sense in which He saw me. There's a very real sense in which He spoke to me. He saw the deepness of my need, the critical issues of my life. He saw the emptiness of my direction, and He ministered to me, and He saved me. Every one of us ought to thank God for that. And there's a sense in which this initiative is reduplicated at every new level of the Christian experience as every new need crops up. Jesus Christ is always turning toward us. Jesus Christ is always seeing our needs, and Jesus Christ is always speaking to alleviate those needs. When He turned and saw, He spoke.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.